Today's Bible reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 12, reading from verses 20 to 36, the New International Version. Jesus predicts his death. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up. "We have heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus told them, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light." When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Amen. And may God bless this reading from his holy word.
So, in Jerusalem, there always was a large crowd around the festival times, especially at this time of the Passover festival. And among them were people from all over the known world. And that included some Greeks, as we read here. And the Greeks, I suppose, were the original latter-day tourists. They could be found all over the place, seeking knowledge, maybe religious experiences. And these Greeks we read about were devout enough to go up to the temple to worship. And they seem to have heard about Jesus, for they were seeking him out. And so they came to Philip, for perhaps they thought that the Greek-sounding name might allow them a more sympathetic hearing. However, Philip didn't really know what to do with them, and he took them to Andrew, and Andrew with Philip simply took them to see Jesus up close and personal, not just looking on from the back of the crowd. And in his presence, they heard amazing things as Jesus spoke of his death on the cross. And let it be known among the listeners that that was the main reason he came to earth. So what are we to make of this reading of Jesus predicting his death? Well, firstly then, there's the importance of the Greek seekers, these Gentiles. And secondly, Andrew takes them to Jesus. There's no hesitation. They want to see Jesus, and let there be no impediment or hesitation then. And thirdly, what Jesus had to say to his listeners and to us about his glorification and the powerful imagery and the lesson it was. You know, sometimes in life we've got friends and we've got family or even a complete stranger who comes to us and asks about our faith. Now, how do we obtain that faith for themselves, they might ask? How do we get to know Jesus? Can you show me Jesus, they might ask, like these Greeks asked. Well, we don't necessarily have an Andrew to hand, and so we need to make the most of it in witness. But they want to see Jesus or to know about him and come to faith in him. Sisters and brothers, give them Jesus then as they ask. Let them in on the story of Jesus and his wonderful self-sacrifice on the cross, bringing the hope of redemption to all who believe in him. Forgiveness of sins, life everlasting, and life to the full even now. Even in this time of despair, for many with coronavirus blight in this world. When someone inquires about Christianity, let's make sure that we are not an impediment. If, like Philip, we're really unsure what to do in any particular circumstance, then firstly, pray for words. Pray for wisdom. Yes, most of us feel inadequate when it comes to evangelising. But take it to the Lord and ask for his guidance. Remember the words in St. Luke, when Jesus said, "For I will give you the words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict." That's in Luke 21:15. Faith is very much an inward journey, a seed planted in the heart, left to grow there. And the outward appearance of the maturing fruit of the Spirit might just be breaking out for all to see and witness. Now, I always find it easier just to talk about my own journey and really what Christ means to me. Just give your own testimony. It's real and it's sincere. The Greeks met Jesus here and they heard Jesus and they took Jesus home in their hearts, one might say, for we don't know otherwise. But Philip didn't say to the Greek inquirers, "Jesus is up there somewhere. If you wander over, you might catch a glimpse of him." And nor did he say, why would you foreigners, you Gentiles, want anything to do with our Jewish Messiah anyway?" And similarly, I guess, we wouldn't say to a family member or a friend, "Well, look, just come to church on Sunday and hopefully you'll find Jesus there and something might rub off on you." Jesus is there, of course, among the worshippers. But our inquirers might need just a little more encouragement. And why Andrew then? Well, listen, Andrew was the one who brought people to Jesus directly, wasn't he? Andrew is called the Protokletos, the first called. And remember, after Jesus appeared at the Jordan River and was baptized by John the Baptist, and it was Andrew who ran to tell his older brother Peter, "Come, we've found the Messiah." And he led Peter to Jesus. Philip took the Greeks to Andrew. For anyone asking to see Jesus could find a conduit through that disciple. He would be what we call an evangelist today. A man who was open and vociferous about Jesus and had no hesitation in presenting Jesus to anyone who asked, and no doubt to some who didn't. And what these seekers were to find or to stumble into would be amazing Christology. These Greeks represented the first inkling that Jesus had come not just for the Jews but for the world. And that's the importance of what is hinted at here. That's the comforting thing for all of us in the world. These Gentiles would hear Jesus for themselves and no doubt take it home, this encounter with the Son of Man. For Jesus would say to them, "Anyone who loves life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me." And the crowd spoke up to you, "We've heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" The king they were praising was saying who would be lifted up, which was a way of referring to the way that he would die on the cross. But the Jews, they couldn't countenance that for the Messiah. And the Jews misunderstand the plan of God had graciously made for the salvation of all, that Jesus must take the sin of the world on himself, representing all humanity, and die with that burden of sin on the cross. And we know that wasn't the end, however, and we'll come to all that followed later on over this Holy Week. Remarkable things Jesus said to those who had ears to hear. Only through death comes life, and life everlasting for those who believe on him and accept him into their hearts. And all who follow his lead to die to their earthly sinful ways and follow his teaching and his gentle ways, forgiving ways, life can be preserved like a small grain of wheat. But to let it grow, it needs to be thrown into the cold earth like a tomb, and it will shoot up and bear fruit. Jesus is that seed. A seed broken for us on the cross, dying to grow again into new life, to grow strong, to bear good fruit. Jesus, the first fruit. And we are seeds, metaphorically speaking, in faith. We die to self, and we are in the darkest tomb of sin. But Jesus bids us have new life. Small shoots of understanding to begin with, growing to bear fruit 160, 30 times. Our fruit is our own inward growing faith as a Christian, and our outward focus on those we serve and disciple who want to see Jesus for themselves. And this teaching harks back a few days to when Jesus told Martha at the tomb of Lazarus that he, Jesus, was the resurrection life. He was and is life. All who believe in him, although they die, will live, and those who live and believe will have everlasting life. And lastly for now, and something that reverberates with us all at this time of crisis in the world, with the coronavirus infecting multitudes and taking lives in great number. He's saying that servitude is the greatest thing of all. And those who go out unselfishly, sacrificing themselves for the love of others, are remembered. They are the great. And we cannot help thinking about all these doctors and nurses who have died in Italy and now some in the United Kingdom on the front line. Are they involved in helping to save lives? We cannot begin to understand what it must feel like for those working in the hospitals to see such a death toll before them in a place where the preservation of life is paramount. And John 15 verses 13 and 14, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." And so in this passage, we have Jesus once more making it known who he was and is. John in his Gospels always making it plain that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah. And our Greek witnesses here represent all of us who want to get up close and personal with Jesus. He was telling them about the new age to come because he, the Son of Man, would act on their behalf to bring redemption to humanity. And in this subplot, we see Andrew bringing people to Christ with no hesitation, taking our hand as he did the Greeks and bringing us into the presence of Jesus. So let us remember there may be some rough-looking characters physically and perhaps spiritually that cross our path, who might say to us, "Let me see Jesus." Let them witness Jesus within us in the first place. And then would we, like Andrew, simply take them to meet him, metaphorically speaking, yet in love open our hearts to them and seek to let them know our Son of Man who is lifted up is now lifted higher from whence he came. As we go through our Holy Week for another year, we might get just too familiar with these scriptures and we fail to read into them the depth of meaning intended for us. Let's look at them again with fresh eyes, as if we were offering them to an inquirer, to see and to hear Jesus once more in the story of the cross, the empty tomb, the glorious resurrection and ascension. And I pray that the living word of God will be illuminated in our minds once more, and that we discover truths that we've missed or willingly ignored, and that such revelations of Christ will stir us into servitude once more, bearing fruit for Christ, who was and is our first fruit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come asking to see Jesus. For those who have distanced themselves from you, and for those who never really knew you, Lord God, may your Spirit refresh and revive our flying faith. May your Spirit cut through preconceived ideas and familiarity that makes us skim over Scripture, but allow us to find the fundamental beauty of your word and life. And as we approach the time of the cross, may we renew and deepen that love of Jesus as we put our hope in him, like we are a seed being thrown to the ground to die and then to burst open in life once more, our new life in Christ. A life that might grow and mature in the Christian faith and blossom and give much fruit. And may we be like Andrew and bring many to know Jesus for themselves and be ready to witness to our faith when honest and sincere inquirers come our way. Let us speak and act boldly for the Lord. We pray these things and we offer these meditations in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.